From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. On Friday night, seven states were struck by several dozen tornadoes. That's according to the Storm Prediction Center at the National Weather Service. Illinois was not spared, and the storms hit in every region of our state. In Crawford County, in southern Illinois, officials said at least 25 homes were destroyed and several dozen more damaged. In central Illinois, in the town of Sherman near Springfield, there was significant damage, and part of Interstate 57 in Champaign County was shut down Friday night after the storms overturned several vehicles, including a tour bus, with more than 30 people on board. And in Belvedere, in northern Illinois, one man died and several dozen more were injured when a roof collapsed during a sold-out concert at the Apollo Theater. Even parts of Illinois that didn't experience tornadoes had to deal with high winds, rain, and hail that in some cases was big enough to break car windshields. As we go to air Monday morning, communities are taking stock of the damage and picking up the pieces. Over the weekend, Governor J.B. Pritzker issued disaster proclamations covering five counties across the state, and more could be added. Joining us to talk about the effects of these storms is John Dwyer. He's coordinator for the Champaign County Emergency Management Agency. John, thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're also joined by reporters who visited some of the communities affected by these storms. Reginald Hardwick is director of news and public affairs for Illinois Public Media, our home station. And Maria Gardner-Lara is a reporter for our partner station, WNIJ, in DeKalb and Rockford. Reginald and Maria, welcome back to both of you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Hello, Brian.
And for the broader context on this storm, we're also joined by Trent Ford, the Illinois State Climatologist. Trent, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
Listeners, as ever, you can join us by calling 800-222-9455. What did you see in your area? How did the storms affect you? What sort of weather did you have? Maybe you or someone you knew experienced some damage because of this storm. We'd love to hear your story at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Reginald, I'm going to begin with you. You went to Crawford County over the weekend. Can you just remind us, where is that and what did you see there?
Sure. That's right along the Illinois-Indiana border, about 2 hours drive, about southeast of the Champaign-Urbana area. And one of the first things I saw was a one-story brick house along Illinois Highway 33 with the roof completely torn off, roofing materials and insulation scattered throughout the yard and nearby trees. It was like the roof was taken off, kind of like a top pulled off of a coffee can. And if it wasn't for the big bay windows in front of the house, the building would be totally unrecognizable. I also saw large rows of trees just uprooted, or the tops of their branches just sheared off. And then you get to the Crawford County Airport, and I counted at least three planes and a few trucks that I could recognize that had just been picked up and smashed, just thrown down by the storm, their windshields and wheels, you know, just smashed. But there were a whole lot of vehicles and equipment I could not recognize. It was just a lot of crumpled metal and metal that was wrapped around trees with force, like tinfoil, you know, just twisted around trees, and debris scattered around cropland for miles and miles. And I looked on Google Images and saw there were three small buildings, including a hangar at the airport. All three are crumpled up, similar to you or I balling up a piece of paper. And there were electric wires from utility poles everywhere, so I was very careful about where I walked, because you just still didn't know which wires were live, and just very, very careful. I wasn't able to go into the hardest hit neighborhoods because a lot of those roads were closed off. One area I was not able to get to, but I was told about from officials, was the telecommunications building at Lincoln Trail College, and I was told it was split in half by the tornado.
Wow.
And real quickly, the Crawford County Board Chairman, Bill Burke, told me there were 25 homes completely destroyed, another 50 sustained some damage. Three people were killed, eight people in the hospital, and most of those killed lived in mobile homes.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that, Reginald. Maria, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You have been looking at the damage in northern Illinois. I mentioned the Apollo Theater in Belvedere. What do we know about what caused the roof to collapse there?
So really, it's, you know, as the fire chief, Sean Schadel, says, you know, this is a direct hit of a tornado. So, well, there might some, you know, I heard some speculation that maybe it's due to an old roof because it is an historical building built in early 1920s. This is a direct hit tornado coming at, you know, from 90 to 100 miles per hour. And so it really could have been a far worse than it was. There was one fatality, a Belvedere man, Fred Livingston Jr., and there were several, at least four that we know of that are that continue to be hospitalized. But you know, this was the building was in direct path of this tornado, and it could have been much worse, right? We know there was 260 people there present for a heavy metal concert, and so now it's what they found. They've done the study of the building. They understand that, you know, it's salvable. This is a strong building. The structure of the building is sound. You know, it was rehabbed in the late 90s. So this is a solid building, and it was probably the best. In ways, as you know, very lucky that the building was in such good shape and not an old, you know, building as some. You know, as you know, it could have been worse. Basically, is the message that I'm hearing from a lot of folks. Because when you get hit directly by a tornado, it, you know, as you can imagine, it could be. It's buildings aren't necessarily always designed for that, but this building was able to withstand that.
Yeah, and I read somewhere that I think it was during an intermission or a break in the concert too, which was also fortunate because people were able to hear the alerts and at least get to some level of safety. John, I want to bring you into the conversation now. This is John Dwyer, coordinator of the Champaign County Emergency Management Agency. There was some damage there, particularly along I-57 between Rantoul and Paxton. What can you tell us about what happened there? What caused it and what was the result?
Well, we actually had a confirmed tornado that originated a mile or two southwest of Dewey that went through the country and damaged several homes and a few businesses, to include Illini FS, and it's made its way northeast over the interstate at I-57 between Ludlow and Rantoul, and that's where the tractor trailer was impacted and hit the bus that was on its way up north to Chicago and caused a bus to overturn. And then it went out into the country as well. And I believe it probably picked up and went into Vermilion County. So we had at least one structure out in the Dewey area that was totally destroyed, but no one was home or no one was there. And then Illini FS sustained some heavy damages, and there was even one person that was underneath a truck changing oil that took shelter, but they were able to get out safely. And a few farm implements, a lot of agricultural irrigation equipment was damaged, and then there was a horse farm that had some barns and stuff that were impacted, but the animals were okay, a few scrapes and bruises. But we got real lucky with it's the tornado path. Yes, there were buildings that were impacted, but there were only minor injuries reported, and to include what was on the interstate. So it could have been a lot worse for us.
Sure. John, you know, I think most of us know if you're in a building with a basement, you go to the basement, or an interior room if there is no basement. What do you do if you're on Interstate 57 in the midst of an imminent tornado threat? What a frightening situation.
Yeah, stay out of the... don't go underneath the overpass, park your vehicle, and try to get in a ditch and lay down in a low spot. Don't drive through it.
Yeah. Okay. Trent Ford, I want to bring you into this now. And just sticking with the subject of the damage, we heard there about some of the agricultural impacts of this. What sort of effect does this kind of weather have on farmers, both in the short term and potentially mid or long term?
Yeah, so, you know, the timing of this storm was I guess, I don't know, a silver lining, but a little bit better than if we were to have this kind of storm, especially with the hail and wind threat, deeper into the growing season when we'd have a taller corn crop, especially. That's where we get the really significant damage from hail and wind. With that being said, when we hear about damage, especially when it relates to wind, a lot of that damage is to farm implement storage, especially grain storage. And we did hear a little bit about that across the state with some folks in rural areas that had their grain bins torn apart either by tornadoes or strong winds, and then livestock, whether it be livestock buildings or the livestock themselves. I think there was a 3.5-inch hail stone that was recorded in Adams County out in Western Illinois from this storm. That was the largest that I heard of. And that's that is really damaging no matter where you are. So, those are the kind of impacts that come from that for agriculture. And, when you think about something like damage to grain storage, that can, that's something that, isn't just rebuilt. A lot of the grain that spills out, if folks are still doing on-farm storage there, is wasted. So that's wasted money. And then, of course, those grain bins take a long time to put back up. And this is right in the middle or getting close to the middle of the busy planting season, too. So, yeah, agriculture impacts pretty extensive from this type of event.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show, and we're talking about Friday night storms that swept across Illinois and the damage they left in their wake. We're talking about this with Trent Ford, the Illinois State climatologist, John Dwyer, who's Champaign County Emergency Management Agency coordinator, as well as reporters Maria Gardner-Lara of WNIJ, Northern Public Radio in Rockford and DeKalb, and Illinois Public Media News and Public Affairs Director Reginald Hardwick. We got a voicemail yesterday from one of the storm chasers who followed some of Friday's severe weather. Let's listen to that.
My name is Landon, and I'm calling in from Northern Illinois University. Around 6:15 on Friday, we watched a large tornado pass next to us at the Casey's in Sherman. We were the first on the scene to do search and rescue. Power lines laying everywhere made it dangerous to access houses. The house that had sustained the most damage belonged to an elderly woman, where we pulled her and her dog from the rubble unscathed. We also checked on the house across the street, where a man came from his basement with a flashlight in his hand. It was relieving to see no injuries or fatalities from this tornado, where it seemed like residents properly sheltered to save their lives.
All right, Landon, thank you for sending that in. We appreciate that. Sherman, he's from Northern Illinois University. Sherman, though, is just outside of Springfield. You can join the conversation as well at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Reginald, we were talking about the damage in Crawford County, but I understand it could have been worse because there was a Marathon oil refinery that was in the area. You spoke about this with State Senator Chapin Rose, and we have some tape of that. Let's listen to that.
This is like the third largest refinery in the state of Illinois. It processes gasoline for most of the Midwest. That thing was headed right for the refinery. You could have had hundreds, if not thousands, of people killed.
So, Reginald, what other impacts could we have seen there if the refinery had been hit?
Yes, well, Senator Rose and others, they expressed sadness for the lives and property lost, but they said the tornado at one point looked like it was going to take a direct hit on the refinery. Fortunately, it just skirted it. It did damage some fencing, but it didn't touch the refinery equipment. And that was a good thing because obviously it could have caused all sorts of explosions. There's also an extra 1,000 people, extra workers who are at the refinery for regular maintenance. And so you could have had a lot more deaths, a lot more injuries. And it also could have knocked out a third of gas supplies off for the Midwest for a long, long time. I also should mention that an ethanol plant down the road was, the tornado took a different path and didn't hit that. So one thing, though, should be mentioned, though, you do have to have water pumps to keep things cool, and the electric grid being off did impact that. So Ameren Energy and Marathon have been working through the weekend to make sure the pumps stay on and the refinery keeps cool and things continue to run as normal there.
John, how about that? How do you prepare facilities like that, oil refineries, nuclear power plants, for example, wind turbines, to remain safe during these sorts of extreme weather events?
Same thing we tell, people in their homes, have a plan, make sure things are secure. We actually had a Illini FS facility impacted by the tornado up around Dewey and had a chemical release and no one was hurt. So make sure things are secure and have a plan to get alerts to, so they can take shelter or secure their facility or get to a place where it's safe.
You know, that's interesting. Have a plan to get alerts. I think I saw some chatter online on Friday evening about people is in this era of cord cutting and not having maybe, you know, cable TV service the way people might have in the past, or maybe they don't have a TV antenna. It's not exactly intuitive for people to figure out where to get good information on a storm while it's happening. You might try your local public radio station, but maybe, you know, not everyone is aware of that. So that's an interesting challenge in our current era. We're going to take a break and continue this conversation when we come back. You can join us at 800-222-9455. Once again, that's 800-222-9455. What did you see on Friday night's severe weather? And are you bracing for more? There are additional risks in the forecast for tomorrow here in Illinois, particularly west of Interstate 55. That's per the National Weather Service this morning. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about Friday's storms and the damage they left in their wake. We're talking about this with John Dwyer, coordinator of the Champaign County Emergency Management Agency, Illinois State Climatologist Trent Ford, as well as Reginald Hardwick, the Director of News and Public Affairs at Illinois Public Media, our home station, and Maria Gardner-Lara, who is a reporter with WNIJ in Rockford and DeKalb. And Maria, I want to play a little bit a clip from Governor Pritzker, who was in Belvedere on Sunday. Let's listen to some of what he said.
I'm really tremendously grateful to the residents here in Belvedere and to the concert goers and the first responders who risked their lives on Friday night to pull people out of the rubble and the wreckage after the EF1 tornado touchdown here. Lives were saved because of the quick work of the people who live here and worked here to get that done.
So, Maria, I mentioned earlier that the governor has issued disaster proclamations or a disaster proclamation for these areas. What does that mean for the recovery efforts?
Yeah, so that opens up a lot of resources from, you know, the state, even federal, you know, definitely at the state level for recovery. And so that really gives a leg up in terms of gathering of recovering and recuperating and rebuilding, especially when it comes to property as the theater. And so and then also, you know, the Illinois Emergency Management services were also there to able to be enhanced, so that definitely opens that up. And so the fire department, the closest fire department is about two blocks away, just across the river from the theater. And so, you know, they came prepared for the worst. At least 20 some ambulance throughout the region came to support and respond. And thankfully, folks are saying this could have been worse, but definitely, that response definitely helped to be able to ensure that people got the care that they need.
And absolutely. Reginald, let me ask you about the recovery efforts you saw happening in Crawford County.
I'm sure Crawford County, along with Boone, DuPage, Marion, and Sangamon counties will all be taking comfort in having that definitely a declaration of disaster proclamation from the governor. Also, they're in a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. curfew. And most of the county is also a boil order for their water because, again, with the electric systems being down, the water pumps and water infrastructure is just not moving that water through, so you can have a lot of problems with the water and not getting it purified like normal. So that's what's going on. And I did see also the county started to move dumpsters in to neighborhoods so they can start to collect storm debris. There is a lot of it. And I just want to mention, you know, the Weather Service in Central Illinois, it took them 2 days to get to all the sites in Crawford County. This was an EF3 tornado with top speeds of 155 miles per hour. And meteorologists believed it tracked 42 miles. And at one point, the storm was a third of a mile wide. It started in Illinois, but also went into Indiana and Sullivan County, where it caused 3 deaths there. And I did some, you know, basic Google searching, and, you know, in comparison, 42 miles, that's like driving from Naperville to DeKalb or Bloomington to Peoria, or about half the time it takes to get from Champaign to Springfield. So if you can imagine that, you know, that's a tornado with 155 mile per hour winds. It's an amazing, you know, storm.
Yeah, terrible path of destruction. You know, Trent Ford, I want to, one of the reasons I'm glad to have you with us today is to think about the bigger picture context here. And storms like this, we hear as the Earth's climate continues to warm, we are going to be getting more severe weather, global weirding, some people call it. Can you put this, what we experienced Friday, in that context?
Yeah, you know, severe weather and severe thunderstorms, hail, tornadoes is probably the least certain connection with climate change, because they're hard to observe, they're hard to model, but there's a lot of progress that's being made. A lot of great researchers, even here in Illinois, at the University of Illinois and Northern Illinois University, making that tough work possible. And yeah, I mean, a lot of what their analyses are showing or suggesting is at least in the models, projections of increased frequency and possibly severity of the types of storm systems or storm environments that can create either tornado outbreaks. Supercell is a kind of thunderstorm that generates a lot of these tornadoes, and then the strong winds and severe weather that comes along with them. So you know, there is some evidence that there is increasing frequency, or likely going to be increasing frequency in the coming decades because of climate change or global warming. And also there's some interesting work that was just published recently to suggest that that the timing, the seasonality of that severe weather may shift a bit more towards the late winter and early spring. There was a paper written by some folks out of Northern Illinois University that suggested that, and kind of what we saw late March, early April, sort of early for the kind of peak of severe weather season. You know, the issue with that is compared to in the summer or fall, is that in the late winter, early spring, we have far fewer hours of daylight. And so what that means is if we get the typical peak of thunderstorm, tornado, strong wind occurrence between, let's say, 3 and 9 p.m., it's much more likely, if that occurs in March or April, that it's happening right at the twilight or nighttime hours, and that increases vulnerability across the board, irrespective of what's going on. So that's sort of kind of the outlook of what we're looking at. A lot of work still to be done to kind of nail that down with certainty, more certainty as to the projections. But yeah, right now the evidence is pointing to increased frequency of what we saw Friday night.
And we have been getting these winter or spring, certainly spring storms, but tornadoes in January. We had that tornado outbreak in December 2021. Let's go to the phones. Kay is calling in from Champaign on line 4. Kay, thank you for calling in today.
Hi, thank you. I wondered if people realize that a more devastating tornado struck Belvedere in 1967. It was an F4, and I lived in a small town not far from Belvedere, and it hit the high school, Belvedere High School, when many children who attended area grade schools were waiting outside the high school for school buses. And of the 16 school buses outside the high school, 12 were overturned or thrown by the tornado, and it did $22 million. I looked it up on Wikipedia. It did $22 million in damage, demolished over 100 homes, and injured 500 people. And I think they said 24 people died as a result of that
Wow.
tornado.
Yeah,
that was on April 21st, 1967. So Belvedere, when I lived near there, if it clouded up and looked weird, people would be out on the streets looking at the sky.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kay, for calling in to share that memory.
Sure.
And I guess warning systems are better nowadays, and that's one reason we hopefully have fewer fatalities when we have sufficient warning for these storms. Trent, before we go, I do want to ask you, I understand we're in for more severe weather tomorrow. Can you talk about what areas are likely to be affected and what we're watching?
Yeah, the setup is somewhat similar. It's a bit different, but somewhat similar to what we had on Friday. So right now, the outlook from the Storm Prediction Center shows an enhanced to moderate risk of severe weather, which includes kind of all the hazards. It's hail, strong winds. We want to focus on strong winds, especially those don't get their credit. They can do a lot of damage, as we saw in Belvedere, and then tornadoes as well. It looks to be about the same timing. It's just, you know, this is the type of the time of the year, the kind of weather we get this part of Illinois, it likely going to be coming through in the afternoon to mid to late evening again. So this is on Tuesday. So the entire state is affected, but again, kind of the bullseye, so to speak, with the higher risk is in the same spot pretty much it was on Friday, kind of northwest to north central Illinois. But even if you're in southern Illinois, Tuesday is a day to be weather aware. Make sure that you have ways of getting the forecasts and the warning. Make sure you have places to go and know where you need to go when those warnings come in. Make sure you got fresh batteries, gas in the car, everything like that. Gosh, I really don't want to be waking up to more fatalities on Wednesday from headlines. So please be weather aware on Tuesday.
Good advice. John, anything to add to that as people are, you know, taking lessons from Friday's recent memory as they're looking ahead to Tuesday?
Just a reminder that the NOAA weather radio transmitter for our area is not working at this time, so you can't receive alerts for Champaign County through your NOAA weather alert radio. So download the FEMA app, download the Champaign County Sheriff's app. It does weather alerts, have multiple ways to get information about the impending or immediate weather that's going on in the area.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw that the National Weather Service office in Lincoln was tweeting furiously during the storm. So even if you're not on Twitter, you can look that up on the internet and follow that along as long as you have that service as well. I want to thank our guests today for talking about this. John Dwyer, Reginald Hardwick, Maria Gardner-Lara, and Trent Ford. Thank you all for being with us. More to come after a short break.